Thank you, Danielle, for talking to us today. We really appreciate that. I was wondering if you could just tell us what's happening right now. What is the mood right now at the site?
Right now, it's really quiet. There is no heavy equipment or workers on the site. There are people there, however, monitoring to make sure that no heavy equipment or workers return to the site until proper consultation happens with Six Nations.
Okay, great. And so what happened this morning exactly? Who was there and what went on?
So this morning around 10 a.m., about 40 people showed up. I would say there was about 15 community members from Six Nations, as well as allies from Toronto, Kitchener, Waterloo, Guelph, Hamilton, who all banded together and came together and evicted the workers from the site and told them that they had to remove their equipment as well. It did go very peacefully. There wasn't any altercations. Police did end up showing up, but they ended up acting as mediators towards or between Enbridge and the group. And it all went very smoothly and peacefully. I mean, although the workers were visibly upset, they didn't convey that, you know, in an aggressive or hostile way.
Was there an understanding between the two parties?
There is an understanding that they're not to return. But at this point, people are unsure if Enbridge will, you know, try to sneak back their equipment or what exactly will be going on, because Enbridge has maintained that they are doing proper consultation with Six Nations, but the community says otherwise.
Could you kind of explain what happened? What were the events that led up to the action this morning? How did you decide that this morning you were all going to go and stand
okay.
up against them?
So what led up to the event was a growing resistance to Line 9 overall. What we've come to find as a group is that Six Nations hasn't been well informed of the consequences of Line 9 or even which territory it runs through or even that it crossed the Grand River. So seeing that this lack of information was there, we decided to start working with Six Nations community members to start spreading that information around, as well as to gauge their interest in direct action in stopping the pipeline as other means of having our voices heard have been shut out or ignored.
Why does your community oppose Line 9?
Line 9 directly threatens the land and the water, and we do not believe that it's worth the risk of, you know, a giant corporation garnering millions and millions of dollars at, you know, this direct threat to our drinking water. You know, people need to drink water, and this is basically what all these people have come together under, is understanding that, you know, we can't drink oil, you know, we can't sustain ourselves from oil, but we do need water and we do need the land.
Mm-hmm. Danielle, last fall, the National Energy Board of Canada was meeting to have a series of hearings on Enbridge's Line 9, and they ended up approving it. And of course, you know, Enbridge and the National Energy Board say they did consult with First Nations, although you folks standing up in Six Nations and the kind of, you know, Indigenous resistance that we've seen across Turtle Island to pipelines kind of says another story. And so I guess what's your reaction to bodies like the National Energy Board just kind of going ahead and approving these projects without necessarily hearing from communities?
Right. I personally believe that the National Energy Board has taken on a rubber stamp kind of mode within approving corporations being able to denigrate the land and the water. I mean, the government is also personally responsible, as they've removed a lot of the protection for water. You know, when Adelmemore first started, that was their big issue, was that the government was removing tons and tons of safety around water. And you know, we've come to see that this has all had a purpose. And when Enbridge talks about consultation and talking to communities, sure, they've talked to communities, but our idea of consultation is to have the communities be able to say no and for that decision to be respected and upheld, and that is just not what's happening. As well, Chippewa of the Thames have launched an appeal against the National Energy Board's decision, and that is still forthcoming, but Enbridge's work is still continuing. So their idea of consultation is completely opposite to what it actually means, and of course suits their corporate gain, and we're unhappy with that.
So seeing as these corporations are lacking with communication, how are you and other members of your community getting the word out and making people aware of this and why it's important and getting people to stand up?
Right. So what we've done is started approaching community members at the grassroots level in Six Nations. We did end up securing a meeting with the chiefs and the clan mothers in Six Nations. From there, we'll be holding a community-wide information night, sharing with everybody, you know, physical descriptions of, you know, for example, the thickness of the pipeline, or showing people what bitumen looks like through examples of molasses and coffee grounds, which resembles bitumen but is not nearly as corrosive or dangerous. And, you know, just getting people engaged in dialogue, you know, answering their questions instead of having information thrown at them.
Mm-hmm. And so again, we're speaking with Danielle right now from Six Nations because there was a shutdown of work, Enbridge workers, on the Line 9 pipeline today in Six Nations territory in so-called Southern Ontario. And Danielle, could you maybe tell our listeners what are the next plans? I mean, is there a plan to continue this direct action against Enbridge? Is there going to be like a land occupation or a land reclamation right now? Or what's next in store for this struggle?
I believe that many people are, you know, not ready to stop until Enbridge stops. And that's kind of the main binding thing between many activists these days, is that they're seeing that Enbridge isn't stopping. So to what ends will we go? Well, of course, we're going to go to every end that may require us to act in order to protect the land and the water. And, you know, as for this particular action, there are people monitoring the site to make sure that heavy equipment doesn't return. And, you know, who knows in the future what's going to happen. But resistance is strong right now, and I don't see any backing down happening in the near future at all.
And I guess maybe in terms of looking at this action in a bit wider of a context, we know that the, I'm not sure if it was the National Energy Board, but the Harper government just gave the green light to the Northern Gateway pipeline out west earlier this month. And actually, as we speak, there's Indigenous people who are holding an action camp in northern unceded British Columbia in the Unist'ot'en territories to oppose that pipeline out there. And I'm just wondering, like, maybe if you could situate your action in terms of other Indigenous communities in this country who are standing up. If you could talk a little bit about that, and is there kind of a level of coordination happening, or how do you see this action falling in with a kind of wider perspective of Indigenous land defense?
Well, I see this action being tied into the rest of the actions happening across Turtle Island, being based in a love for and a need for protection of the land and the water. You know, it basically comes down to four Indigenous peoples having an inherent responsibility to protect this land and water. And it comes from, you know, us being living on this land for centuries, you know, and I think that what people may not understand is that it comes from spirit. And, you know, whereas other people may not be connected to the land in such a way as Indigenous peoples are, they are also connecting to the love that we have for that land and the water, and people can see where we're coming from, and they can see the passion, and they can see why it's important, and they're joining us. And this is what's garnering strength for our movement right now.
That's excellent. I was hoping maybe you could tell us and our listeners how we might be able to get involved in Montreal, for instance. Is there any way to show our solidarity?
I'm not too sure actually right now about that, but I think that, you know, if there are any particular projects coming up that threaten the land or the water, that are continually like resource extracting on Indigenous territory or threatening ways of life due to resource extraction, that there are definitely spaces to take a stand in whichever way people are feel comfortable.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much. And yeah, good luck with the rest of the actions.
Sure. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.